Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
I just want to share a word that's been in my heart, and it was something that we were talking about in Kihei over the last month. And, you know, when God gives you a word, I would encourage you to move on it, to look into it, to study it, to begin to find out what it means. Everything we hear, we don't always know what it means. I'm one of those guys that I'll look up words. I'll look up the definitions. A lot of times we're talking and we're saying things and people are preaching and I need it broken down. Listen, I got a GED. Anybody else got the good enough degree? Wave at me if you got the, a lot of you. Yeah, see, I didn't go to college. I went to prison. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace and your mercy. Okay, there's a word that I'm going to talk about. The definition of this word is to reach, to chase after, to pursue, to catch up to go beyond something or someone by being of a greater amount. The word comes out of 1 Samuel chapter 30, 1 through 8. If you can pull that up on the screen. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters had been taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam and Jezreel, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. Now watch this. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter. Everybody say bitter. Don't be bitter. In spirit, because of his sons and daughters, but David found strength. Everybody said found strength in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. Abiathar brought it to him. And David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? Pursue them, he answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. Lord, your word is a lamp and it is a light. Help me to communicate your word to your people in Jesus' name. Amen. The word is overtake. We as a church, as a people, are going to overtake the enemy. We're going to overtake the things that he's destroyed. We're going to overtake the things that he's tried to take and steal from us. He's tried to steal our families. He's tried to break relationships. We're going to overtake the possessions that he stole. We will overtake the evil that has tried to hinder what God wants to do. Can I get an amen? We will overtake drug addiction. We will overtake alcoholism. We will overtake suicide. We will overtake depression, overtake abuse and abandonment. We will overtake anger and division. We will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. This is a word from God. Did you know there's people that have been taken captive that love you and their salvation is depending on you coming to rescue them? You will succeed in the rescue. There's a promise there. We have to overtake evil by doing good. We can't just sit back and just let them go. There's some relationships that need to be fixed in this house, and you have to overtake those broken relationships by you making the phone call, by you extending your hand. I'll wait for them to call. I'll wait for them to apologize. Listen, they're not going to apologize. You got to overtake that situation. You got to be the one that extends your hand. You got to be the one that goes after them. Go and rescue them. They're waiting to be rescued. There's people in your neighborhood. There's people in your house. There's people all over this state that are in prison that are waiting to be rescued. I had lunch today with a guy that we met in the prison. And when we brought the revival services, something stirred in him. I'm sure Minister Erica and the team were ministering to him before that. But we sat down today and we talked story. He's been out for a year and a half and he's been rescued. We went and overtook it. He was not raised in the church. He didn't know nothing about God. He had one encounter with God and it changed things. He was sitting in prison waiting to be rescued. If God doesn't do anything more in the prisons, that for me was enough. All the time, all the effort, all the money, all the travel, all the time being away from my family. It's not my first choice to be away from my family. I love my family. But I have to be obedient. God said to pursue. We need to pursue in the rescue. I want to encourage you tonight. There are people that are waiting on you to rescue them. You probably can think of someone right now that God has chosen you to be his hand. But listen, nobody can do what God's called you to do better than you. But guess what? He has a backup plan. It's not going to be as good as his first choice. You were his first choice to do what he's called you to do. And sometimes we're waiting for pastor to do what you were supposed to do. And it might be too late by then. You can do this. We're doing this together. It's not about one man. We all are called to overtake. We will overtake the things that the enemy is meant for harm. There was something interesting I loved about David in this situation. David didn't just rush in. God didn't just send Pastor Rice to 10,000 inmates when I first got my volunteer card. He started me with two. See, I didn't get to rush into it. Sometimes we're waiting, we want to just jump in, but David stopped and he inquired of the Lord. Don't just make a decision. I mean, there's some obvious decisions that you don't really need to, oh, I'll be praying about it. You've been praying for 3 weeks. You already know the answer is no. Just tell them no. My wife, I'll be honest, she's so awesome. I love my wife. She's like, I don't want to go to church tonight. I'm like, why? This is when we're new Christians. Because that one pastor is going to ask me to do something. All she does is, Pastor Kalana, can you do this? Can you want to serve here? And she didn't want to serve. I said, just tell her no. And she'll go bug somebody else. She's trying to help her, and my wife figured that out. But as early Christians, I said, just tell her no. And it's okay, guys. You're going to be not getting kicked out. You're not going to go to hell because you say no. I was in the prison in Arizona, and the chaplain, he'd been there for a number of years, and he waited for our last service to retire from the prison. And the assistant warden came up to me, and she's like, you know, trying to be kind of sneaky. She's like, oh, you know, pastor's... Or the chaplain, Chaplain Lopez is retiring, and you know we're not sure what we're gonna do, unless you are interested. I said, let me pray about it. No. She's like, God's got me doing it. I didn't need to string her along for 3 months. You know, that when they found someone else, it wasn't for me. I already knew it in my heart. So, you know, there's the procrastination with telling people you're praying for it. It's not always the best idea. Sometimes just be upfront and say no. But inquire of the Lord. David asked the Lord specifically, will I overtake them? See, David had a little bit of concern. You're not the only person in the Lord's army that may have some concern about some situations or about the things that you are facing. Just inquire. Stop. You want to build a relationship with someone, you talk to them. Some of you think you have such a great relationship with God, you never even talk to them. I'm sorry. But God bless all you guys. Listen, that person sitting next to you is sitting next to you because you talk to them. You got to talk to the Lord. Inquire of the Lord. He will speak to you. You speak to him. David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord confirmed, yes, you will go and overtake them. Now watch this. Not all of us are going into the same battle, but we all are going to war against some kind of evil. We are all in the Lord's army. Where are all the kids? Are there any kids in the house? Do you remember this song? I may never march in the infantry. Yes, sir. Come on, give it up. Hey, you know, that's my grandson. He's 9 years old. I listen to that song like 5 times a day in the cartoon, and he loves it. I want to show you something about this song, about how powerful this passage really is. You got to understand something. Let me tell you, watch this. In the military in the United States right now, we have 2.87 million military personnel. Did you know 80% of them? 2.29 million of these personnel are in a non-combat position. You're not going to fight the same war as the person next to you. But we're all, and listen, those 2.7 or 2.3 million, their job, watch this, their job is to support, their role is in the support and safety and the safe return from battle of that 20% that who are in combat. Their role is no less significant from those that are on the front lines. Your role is no less significant than Pastor Bracken or Pastor Karen or Pastor Kirsten. You have a role. Every good decision you make, you strengthen the Lord's army. Every time you're kind to somebody, you strengthen the Lord's army. Every time you give into the offering, you're strengthening the Lord's army. Listen, it's not all about just the person with the mic. Listen, we weren't born with the mic. We just keep working our way. We keep pursuing. We keep going after what God has placed in front of us. And God will give you the opportunity. But don't ever think that your position is any less significant because you're behind the scenes. God is watching. God knows. 80% of those will never go into battle in a combat position. But yet their position assures it's a reassurance of those that are in combat to come home safely. But we only look at the Navy SEALs and those that are on the front lines. But there's a whole 80% people behind the Navy SEALs that are allowing them to complete what they're doing. Please, you guys, you're valuable. You are so valuable. You don't even know how valuable you are. You don't know how valuable what you're doing is for the army of God. I'm just going to paraphrase the next 10 verses. So God tells him to go pursue. David takes 600 men. On the way down there, 200 of them couldn't make it. They were exhausted. They were too weak, it says. So he went with 400. He went with 2/3 of what he started with. We will, like David, go into war together, all with different abilities to fight. We will all come out together, sharing the victories. You know, they went and retrieved. They went and rescued all the women. They went and rescued all the children. They went and rescued all the possessions. And all of a sudden, the 400 came back, and they saw the 200 that didn't go. And it's some of the bitter men, it said, some of the evil men in David's army. Evil men in the Lord's army. Be careful. You know what he said? The bitter, evil men said, nah, they didn't go into fight with us. They ain't getting anything. And said, no. David said, no. They will get the same share as all of us because we're all in this together. What happens in Wasilla is going to bless Kihei. What happens in Kihei is going to bless Texas. What happens in Texas is going to bless the Philippines. We're one church in multiple locations. We are all in this together. What's ours isn't ours. What's ours is ours. I better write that down. Did you get that? What's ours is ours. Ours is ours. It made sense when I said it. Psalms 18:37. Please. I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. Listen, you guys, there's no turning back. No turning back. No turning. Remember, I've decided to follow Jesus. You can't go back. God said, you go pursue. You got to go after the things that the devil's stolen from you. You know, he stole a lot of my lives in the prison. And today I'm going back in the prison. I'm pursuing it. I'm overtaking what the enemy has stole from me. I got to get going. I got to get moving. If you haven't noticed, you're getting older. You're running out of time. Your time is limited here. That's why I stay busy. My team is like, bro, you're nuts. I just got to keep going. And I don't even get tired. It's so weird. Like, I just keep going. I say, God, I'm running out of time. I want to see more stories like Taylor. I want to see more stories like Ross Soto. That boy grew up in our church. And God sends me to a Texas prison, 120 prisons in Texas with probably a million inmates. He sends me to the prison that Ross is in, the same son of the mom that used to knock on my door when I didn't want nothing to do with Jesus. And here he is. God's a personal God. But that would not have happened if I didn't pursue it, if I didn't go overtake. You know, I didn't even get to share that. I forgot. I mean, God's done so much. It's unbelievable. I could stand up for hours and hours and hours because I don't forget what he's done. That's a problem when you start forgetting what God has done. I don't forget. I share testimonies on a regular basis because I want to overcome the enemy. I don't forget what God has done. He's done so much, but a few months ago, I was honored with the position of the head chaplain over the Maui County Correctional Center on Maui. They gave me keys. I used to be in that prison. They give me keys. Are they nuts? I used to get 2 to 3 hours a week. Now I get 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, access to the inmates, and they're all getting saved. They don't even have a choice. You're getting saved now that I'm the chaplain. Come here. I went through and prayed for everybody in that prison twice in the first 2 days. The people, all the guards are like, who's this new chaplain? I mean, they already knew me, but they're like, we're just thankful to have you, because I just go pursue. I go overtake. You know, the other day, I have a team that helps me in the prison, and I had a situation arise. And there's always somebody that just doesn't like you. I'm like, how could you not like me? I'm just so appalled at you. He's never liked me for 10 years. He's a guard. He just doesn't like me or Jesus or anything. That he's like, oh, what kind of a God do you serve when that guy David had an affair? And I'm, he's a merciful God. I said, a lot of the Bible teaches us what not to do. You know, come on, let me walk you through this. Let me get you some color crayons and a little. No, I didn't do that. But I just try to be kind to him, you know, but he really gets on my nerves. And so I had my friend, his name's Wills. He does a Tuesday night service. I've been raising these guys up and releasing them. And I had to cover for him. He couldn't be there for some reason. And I get down to the central. And so now I'm the chaplain now. I'm not just a volunteer. I get a badge and I get keys. And so I don't know that this guy realized that I was there that night. So anyways, I go to Central. It's the area they send all the guys for church. We always have people, whether it be one or 50, we always have. And this guy is known for this back in the days when I was just a volunteer. And all of a sudden I'm in there, I set the whole room up and moving all these tables around. And all of a sudden they're like, hey, pastor, you have no takers. That means no one's taking the opportunity to go to prison. I'm like, oh, really? No takers, huh? I said, that's strange, but thank you. So in the past, I'm a volunteer. I have to leave. I just go home, whatever, chocolate. But now I'm the chaplain. No takers, huh? Well, let's go find out if there's no takers. So Pastor Rice puts all the stuff back. And all of a sudden, instead of going out the exit, I look at the guy, just throw shock. And he knew what I was going to do. He knew I was going down there. And this wasn't so the guy called down to the unit, and the guy that I have a hard time with is down in that unit, not letting the guys come. So I go down to the unit, and I knock on the door, and he's like, oh, hi, Pastor Rice. I'm like, hi. So can I help you? I'm like, yeah. No takers? No. What? No. I said, yeah. He's like, oh, you're the new chaplain? And I'm like, yeah. And he knows, but he's playing dumb. And I'm like, yeah. I just want to go in and pray for the guys. Okay, I guess that's fine. I walk in, and all my guys They come to church every week. They're standing there going, he won't let us go. And I'm like, oh, okay. Get in a circle. So we had the whole pod right in front of his little box watching me. Come on, let's have Bible study right here. In the name of Jesus, we just thank you. And we begin to pray. We begin that Bible study right there. And so he upset Pastor Rice. See, there's such thing as a righteous anger. So that was all the downstairs tier. Oh, no takers? Well, let me go upstairs and go door to door. Hey, can Pastor Rice pray for you? Hey, can Pastor Rice? And I went all the way through. And then I said, I'm already going. I'm going to the next pod. And then I'm going to the next pod. Then I'm going to the dorms. He didn't want me to have 20 people, so I went and ministered to 200. I had to overtake. I had to pursue. I could have easily just been like, you know, I'm going to go home, good night off. Yeah, night. No, but I'm going to overtake. I'm going to pursue it. I said, thank you. Go ahead, do no takers again next week. I'll pray for everybody twice. He loves me. That guy loves me so much. I had a guy when I was leaving yesterday. I went in before I left just to let everybody know I was going to be gone so they're not wondering. And as I was leaving a different pod, the guard, who he used to be pretty grumpy too, but he said, Pastor Rice, when you come in here, it changes the atmosphere. Listen, it's not Pastor Rice. I'm just a piece of meat, dude. Did you know that? Look at your person next to you. Tell them you're just a piece of meat. I'm sorry. Some of you guys are going to get in trouble. But think about it. We're just some flesh walking around, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. When we're ready to overtake, when we're ready to pursue, you will change the atmosphere that you step into. But you have to pursue it. You have to go after it. Please don't stop. Philippians chapter 4, 10 through 13. I want to talk to you real quickly. I have a few minutes left about overtaking situations. Does anybody got a situation? Anybody wave at me if you got a situation right now. Oh, look at that. Everybody's got a situation. Perfect. Got the right word for you tonight. Philippians 4, 10 through 13, it says, my neck looks short. I was realizing I was wearing a turtleneck. I was like, what kind of short neck? I don't know. They're the first turtleneck. I bought it just for Alaska. Short neck. Look at that pastor with a short neck. Pastor Bracken, love you, Vanna. Yeah.
No neck.
Lord, help me come back to reality. I rejoice greatly in the Lord. I'll start over. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Now, you got to understand something about this. Paul is writing from prison to a church extension he started. He's in prison. Paul's in prison writing to this church. This whole letter, okay, Philippians, he communicates messages of joy. Everybody say joy. Like that guard downstairs, he brought me a lot of joy. Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Like, oh! He writes about joy, perseverance, and reliance on God despite his circumstance or his situation. Being content doesn't mean do nothing. Oh, I'm just so content. God has just blessed me. Well, that's great. You be content and be grateful, be thankful. Some of you are asking for more when you're not even content with what you have. Why is God going to give you more so you can be more uncontent with more? Think about it. Oh, God, I just want more. I want more. You're not even thankful for what you got. Start being thankful for what you got, and God is going to give you more. He said to be content. This is his appreciation for his church. Okay, he's writing an appreciation for his church, his people. And it's clear throughout this letter as he encouraged them to live out their faith in joy and in unity. You want to overtake your situation, you need some joy and you need some unity. Unity is not by yourself. I'm so united. All alone. God said he saw a man and he was alone and it wasn't good. Listen, some of you need to get out. You need to call somebody. You need to get in unity with somebody. Doesn't have to be with everybody. Listen, there's some people that want unity with me, and I'm like, you don't have to be in unity with everybody, but you need to be in unity with somebody. He encourages us. He encourages them. Live out their faith in joy and in unity. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can overtake any situation you face. You have the strength of Christ in you. Everybody say, I have the strength of Christ. Look at Philippians 1:6, please. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ. Yeah, he's not done with you. You look in the mirror and think you're a finished product. You're not. You're under construction. You got a long way to go. But he's going to complete what he's begun if you continue to overtake, if you continue to pursue. You can't, well, oh, I'm just still struggling with this or I'm still struggling with that. Join the whole church. Some people just hide it better than others. We all are facing something. You all have a situation. Your situation is different, okay? But it's not worse than someone else's. We all have situations. But listen, you can overtake it. You have the strength of Christ that lives in you. God is underway in your life. He is working. We are not finished. Don't allow your situation to dismantle what God is doing in you and through you. You know, I was driving at like, I don't know, it felt like 4 a.m. because it was still dark here, but I think it was 7, and I'm driving by myself. Oh, poor pastor, I'm by myself on this prison trip, and I kind of started to feel sorry for myself, started missing my family. And I wasn't actually crying, but this is what I was thinking. And all of a sudden, God just says, we're with you. And all of a sudden, I actually started to cry. Tears of joy. Tears of sorrow turned to tears of joy. And all of a sudden, I realized, I'm not alone. You're not alone. Okay? God is with you. And you know when he said that? I felt like my dad was sitting right next to him. My dad was a man of God that died 10 years ago. And he never really got to see me to get to where I'm at today from earth. But I'm sure he was looking down. But I was reassured that God was with me, and I was coming to Alaska to overtake something. I was coming to Alaska to pursue something. It's a great honor to preach to you guys. I get to do this, but in the next 4 days, we're going to have 9 services in 3 different prisons. Listen, we're going to go pursue. We're going to go overtake. We're going to see some families restored. Listen, some of your family is in that prison. God wants to heal them. Maybe you've been in that prison. God didn't forget you. They need to be rescued. And what, I'm just going to rely on someone else to do it? Well, couldn't there some guys in Alaska do it? Yeah, there is, but he's called me to do it. So I got to fulfill what God's called me to fulfill. So I come up here and I get united with Minister Eric and Brad and John and George Ostermiller and Skip and all the other boys that are going with us. We come united. We go pursue. We go overtake what the enemy meant for harm. There's a wonderful scripture. It's so encouraging. Are you ready to be encouraged? Oh, let me tell you real quick about a situation. A situation is a set of circumstances in which one finds oneself. It's the location and surrounding of a place. What is your situation? Now watch this. Are you praying to get out of a situation that you put yourself in? Aren't you encouraged? You know how many guys want me to get him out of prison? They always want my help. I'm like, I didn't help you get in, but now you want me to help you get out. And then I help you get out and you go back in. And then I'm like, but think about it. You're praying to get out of a situation that you keep putting yourself in. You might just have to work your own way out. Sometimes God allows us to suffer a little bit. I'm going to show you. I'll prove that to you in just a second. Are the places and people that you go with influencing your situation? How do we respond to the situations we're in? They say a situation is the way something or someone is placed in relation to their surroundings. Some of your surroundings is causing your situation. Thank you, Pastor Karen. It's true. A lot of your situation is because of the places you're going and the people you're hanging out with and the things that you're doing. And then you're asking God to deliver you so you can go right. Oh, this is my favorite. Can you pray? The other day I came to the cell. I said, hey, can I pray for you? He's like, yeah, pray that I get out. And I was like, are you going to do? Don't tell me what. I don't need a lecture. I said, wait. You want me to pray that you get out so you can go back to do exactly what you came in here for, so you can go hurt more people, so you can get high, so you can drive your car into people? I said, I ain't praying that way. You're the chaplain. You have to. I said, no, I don't have to do that. I said, I'm not praying for you to get out, especially with that kind of attitude. Why would I pray for you to get? Why is God going to let you out to go do exactly what you were doing? Some of your situations you're praying for God to take you out of when you're going to go right back into it after he takes you out. Am I getting loud? I mean, I get excited. I have fun. I'm sorry. I'm Italian too. I like to yell. But think about it. You're asking God to get you out of a situation that you put yourself in and you have no desire to really change the situation. But you want God to take you out of it. God's not dumb. If you didn't know that, he's not. They say a situation is the way something or someone is placed in relation to their surroundings. It's a combination of a position and a circumstance that will cause and condition a person's behavior. Situations will cause influence on your behavior. How do we respond when facing situations? Well, here's that encouraging verse, Matthew chapter 5, 10 through 13. Watch this. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Oh, hallelujah. You guys know what persecuted means? Okay. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of the righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, watch this. Blessed are you when people insult you. Oh, hallelujah. Can you insult me some more? I want to be blessed. Come on, bless me. Insult me, and they falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Oh, how, what a joy. I've heard some of the greatest stories about me. I'm like, what, really? I did that? I didn't even know I did that. 13. You are the, no. Oh, wait. No. Rejoice and be, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Rejoice and be glad. People are insulting you. Yeah, yeah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to be blessed. They're going to lie about me. They're going to insult me. They're going to persecute me. Listen, it says to be glad and rejoice. What, are you nuts? Help me, Lord. How do I rejoice when people are insulting me? How do I it takes the power of the Holy Spirit in you. It takes that Spirit of God that strengthens you to overcome and to overtake when people, listen, we use people as excuses for so much. Oh, I wouldn't go there if they're there. If they wouldn't have done this. Oh, me and my wife, I used to always do that. Well, if you didn't do this, I wouldn't have done that. Well, if you didn't look at me like that way, I wouldn't have went and drank 12 beers. You shouldn't have looked at me like that. I didn't come home last night. Well, yeah, you shouldn't have talked to me that way. All these excuses for my poor behavior. You need to rejoice. Be glad, Lord. They're going to mock me. They're going to persecute me. I want to close with these. Oh, my gosh, I'm over. I can't go into these. Let me just close with this. God is speaking to us tonight. You have a situation. You want to overtake. You need to inquire of the Lord. Go to the Lord with your situation. Talk to him about it. Listen, and sometimes, you know what an answer to prayer is? Sometimes no. No, son. Oh, I'm waiting for my answer, because you're waiting for the answer you want to hear. God's not always, listen, I didn't even realize that until my dad told me, you know the answer to prayer sometimes is no? Why? He's trying to protect you. You just tell your kids yes to everything so they can go hurt themselves? No, accept the answer, no, as you inquire of the Lord. And then he says, yes, you go after and pursue it. You carry one another's burdens, like that 400 that went into battle. They carried that other 200's burdens. And that 400 brought back those other 200's wives, those other 200's children's. Okay? You matter in this. What you guys do, you praying for us extensions. I hope you're praying for the prison ministry team. You actually help carry us through. You help protect us. Listen, they can stab me in the neck at any time. I'll stab them right back because I carry a blade with me. I'm just joking. Forgive me, Lord Jesus. I need your help. But seriously, there's murderers all over the place. You don't even know it. And we're standing there just like this with them. We're pursuing, we're overtaking what the enemy meant for evil. We're going to go in and bring them hope. We're going to bring them joy. We're going to continue to pursue. We're going to inquire of the Lord. God is speaking to us. Have joy. Persevere. You got to rely on God. You have to live in unity. You really want to know how to overtake the enemy? I'll give you the simplest version of Scripture. It's when they ask Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? You want to overtake a situation. You want to overtake people. You want to overtake circumstances. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then you want to overtake. You want to persevere. You want to pursue. You love your neighbor. But Lord, I don't want to love my neighbor. I don't like them. I don't. I actually don't like my neighbor, but God's working on it. I love them. I don't really like them. I pray for them. But it's getting better. But this all comes down. It says that all the laws fall under this. Everything falls under love. Lord, I figured out if I can love you. You notice how he doesn't tell us to love our neighbor first? I'm not loving my neighbor if I can't love God. Lord, help me to love you so I can go in and I can help rescue people. Lord, help me to overtake. Help me to persevere. Lord, help me to love the unlovable. There's people that need your love. Not your love. It's his love working through you. You will be a demonstration and a voice piece of God's love. If you're willing. That's all I've done for 15 years. I just keep saying yes. I don't even know how to do it. I don't even know how to do this. I don't even know what I'm doing right now. Seriously, I just say yes, Lord. I trust you. I don't wait for everything to be perfect, everything to put in place, all the money to be there, and all the scriptures memorized, and I've read all my, then I'm just, yes, send me. We'll fix it as we go. You guys are all ready. You're ready already. You're ready. But you're waiting. God says, stop waiting. Step into your purpose. Step into your promise. Be resilient. Persevere. Reliance is on the Lord. Not on your circumstance. Not on your situation. I'm going to ask everybody just to stand to their feet, please. I'm going to ask you to put your hand on your heart. I'm going to lay hands on anybody that is facing a situation they're concerned about. But we got to take care of a couple of things. The first thing is, want to make sure you are right with the Lord. We're all one heartbeat away from eternity. We only have now. We only have today. here and now. God is a present God. He's in our presence. If you would repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I choose tonight to walk with you, talk with you from this day forward. Thank you for loving me. Help me to overtake my situation. In Jesus' name.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.